Well, today we have a special guest bringing us the message. Many of you are aware that we have a partnership with City Covenant Church in Detroit, and it's been a long and wonderful partnership that we've had. And typically, part of that partnership is that we do a pulpit swap. Pastor Mike goes and preaches there, and their pastor comes and preaches with us. And so you're used to seeing Samil up here during those weeks that we do a pulpit swap. But I have some good news. Samil retired. Yeah, not good news because he's not up here. I mean, we love having Samil up here. Good news because we are excited for this next phase in Samil's life. And this is Pastor Lamine. He is the new senior pastor at City Cove Church. Yeah. And so with that, he's going to be bringing us the word today. So I'm going to let him take over from here. So go for it.
Well, thank you, Pastor James. Good morning. Praise God. Amazing faces. Amen. Praise God. I just want to say thank you for having me here. Amen. Welcoming me and accepting me. And I told this morning service that they must really have faith in God to have a rookie come speak for your experienced Pastor Mike. Amen. Now, they told me something this morning. Now, I'm hoping it's not true. They said service was at 9 a.m. and you guys are late. Was that true? Yeah? Okay. So we did something great for you guys, all right? No big deal. We got everything on tape, all right? So we're going to play everything on the screen. I'm going to sit down with you guys. And no? Praise God. Amen. Again, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. We've had this relationship with our Faith Covenant for a long time. Amen. And when Pastor Smil retired, and then Pastor Mike called me, says, hey, we had a tradition. Count me in. I said, praise God. It's been a good tradition. Covenant churches, you know. So I'm excited to be here, and I look forward to more of this time with you guys, amen? Every now and then, it feels good to just leave your people and go visit some other nice people, right? Amen? Praise God. But I just want to say thank you to Pastor Mike. He does a tremendous job, you know, teaching and preaching the Word of God. I've heard him preach and teach 2 times at City Covenant. He is a well-experienced biblical man. So thank God for him and the work he does. And also Pastor James, all the leaders, and those of you who serve. And I said it earlier this morning, I walked around and I saw all the great things that you guys do. I was amazed, you know, that there are people who are committed, you know, to serve and to do the work of God. Amen. And thank you so much for being the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, all of you. And being a part of this church, trust me, it means a lot to your leaders. Amen. So God bless you. I didn't come by myself today. I came with my crew, me and my 24 children. Now, my wife and 2 daughters, amen. She was back there a minute ago, but I guess she went to the kids section. I got two girls, Elizabeth, she's 5. She's going to be 5 December 23rd, 1 day before my birthday, amen. She was born at 10:15 p.m., and I told her, good, I don't want to share my birthday with you. And then Eliana, she's 1 year and 7 months. So we thank God for such a family God has given me. My wife is pretty much the backbone. I watch over everything while I spend time studying and praying and writing sermons. And she's changing diapers and putting kids to sleep and feeding. So I thank God for her. Amen. Praise God. When she gets here, I'll point you guys to the back so you can see her. Praise God. Well, let's get to the Word of God this morning. Amen. This is the exciting part. Amen. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 9 to 24. Amen. Acts, chapter 8, verse 9 to 24. Now, this morning I told, I'm used to, our tradition was, we stand up when we read the Bible. So I told the morning crew, they all looked at me like, what are you talking about? So you can't sit down. Amen. I understand this is how you guys do it at Faith Covenant. You sit down and you read. There's nothing wrong with that. So remain seated and let's get to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Amen. We're going to read from verse 9 to 24. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 24. I'll read from the New King James. Praise God. Acts 8 and verse 9. Oh, this is Luke. I'm looking for Acts. If you're there, say amen. If you need time, say wait. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. In the morning, they said I went a minute over. So I've set my clock for 2 hours. All right? I'm trying to get you guys to wake up. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 24. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw through the laying of the hands, the laying on of the apostles' hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." Amen. Father, we thank you and we bless you, O God. We give you praise and we give you glory. God, use me, O God, as your mouthpiece, that your people may receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So look at somebody on your left and give them the title of the message this morning. And it is called, "Simon, You Got It Totally Wrong." Amen. Praise God. And don't be scared of nobody. Look at them. Look at them in the face and tell them, say, "Simon, you got it totally wrong." Amen. Praise God. Now, I apologize in advance if your name is Simon. We're going to preach about you today. Amen. Praise God. But I remember vividly back in college, in the days of writing English papers and whatnot, that one day a professor gave us an English paper to write. And I wrote the paper, finished it so fast, and turned it into the professor. And then it wasn't even a day, he sent the whole thing back to me. And this is what the professor said. He says, "Lamin, read the question." So I completely missed the whole thing. I thought I had it right. I thought I answered the question he was asking. But after a while of spending time and reading and scrutinizing the question, I realized that I didn't pay attention. I didn't understand the question. So I went back and read the question and learned it and researched and then did it rightly and turned in my paper. And I said that to bring you here this morning that one of the most misunderstood doctrine in the church, and I say in the church, is salvation. Now you would think something so critical, you would think something that is so powerful, something that is necessary for the eternity of humanity, you will think that the church has got it down packed. Now, you would think that something that means so much to God, that means so much to Christ, that should mean so much to the church, you would think that we have learned it, we have understood it, we have grasped it, and now we know how to teach it, how to send it out, and how to receive it. But I've come to learn in my few years in ministry, listening to churches and YouTube pastors and other people, I've come to understand that this is one of the doctrines that we have missed. Salvation. Now, praise God. I said it to the morning crew. You are fine. My assumption is that all of you guys here are saved. So I'm not talking to you this morning. Amen? You know, you guys have some great leaders and some great pastors that know how to preach the word, that have learned the word. And I'm almost certain that they have spent all these years breaking it down for you that you understand. Okay? So you're fine. I'm not worried about you, Faith. My message this morning is that there may be one Simon in this room that thought he understand what salvation is. There may be one Simon watching us on social media this morning that thinks that they have gotten a good hold of what salvation is all about. So don't worry. Relax. Take your notes and then go give it to somebody out there who is not saved. You're fine. But even Jesus said these. He says, on that day, many will come to me and they will say, Lord, Lord, we have been in your church. We have preached your word. We have done wonders for you. We have done things in your kingdom. And Jesus said, I'll say this to them. I never knew you. Depart from me. And this is the words of Jesus Christ. And he said also, there is a narrow gate and there is a wide gate. And Jesus said, those that go through the wide gate are many. And some of them are sitting in our churches. They think they've gotten a good hold of what salvation is. They know what it is. And Jesus said, on that day, the biggest surprise for some people will be this. I never knew you. I didn't have a relationship with you. There was no connection. You don't understand what salvation was. And in Acts chapter 8, we meet a man by the name of Simon. And Simon thought he had it good. Simon thought he was okay. Simon thought everything between he and God was fine. Just because he believed, just because he got baptized, he thought that he had it down packed. He thought he was saved. He thought he knew God now. He thought he was one of us that are going to enter into the kingdom of God. But clearly as we read, we realize that Simon was not saved. And even Peter told him at the end, he said, Simon, your heart is not right with God. Simon, you got it wrong. There are three areas as we look at this text that Simon missed it. If you're writing notes, I want you to follow me. There's three areas as we study the text that we see that Simon got it wrong. And here's the first one. Look at verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Now, here's the first area that Simon missed it when it comes to salvation. He thought he was great. He thought he was a good guy. He thought he was a righteous guy. He thought he was a perfect man. He thought that his life with God, there is no problem. Simon thought of himself too high. And the reason why he began to think like that was because of this. In Samaria, they had a belief that God comes down in steps. And then when he comes down in those steps, one of the last steps he takes is that he embodies humanity and he begins to do some wonders and some miracles and some signs. They thought God has a cascade of coming down. And this was an idea they had gotten from the Gnostics. And that's how even they think that Jesus is not God. They think that Jesus is just a man that God has embodied. They think Jesus is a man that God is just living inside. But they never understood that Jesus is God. So the people in Samaria had this belief. So when they saw Simon doing sorcery and tricking people, and it was working. It was working. I'm telling you, the devil can make certain things work. It was working. And they believed that this guy must be some kind of deity. He must be some kind of guy that God has stepped down and has come into him, and now God is using him to do wonders. And Simon's head got big also. And he began to think of himself as someone great. He began to look at himself as someone righteous. He was full of pride. His head got big. Simon began to exalt himself. Simon began to think that I'm a perfect guy. I'm the right guy. I got no issues. I got no sin. I got no flaws. I'm the great one, he said. But this is the first place that Simon got it wrong. If a man or a woman is going to come to God for salvation, you must see yourself not as the great one, not as the righteous one, not as a perfect holy one. You must see yourself as a sinner that needs salvation. And Romans 3:10 tells us that there is no one righteous. No, not one. We're all sinners. And if you're ever going to come to God and be able to receive salvation, you must get a good understanding of who man is. You must understand the nature of humanity. You must understand who you are. Not as a righteous one, not as a good one, not as a perfect one, but as a sinner. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He says, those who are well don't need to go see a physician. If you're fine, you won't need to make an appointment with a doctor. If you're feeling good and you are great, there is no need for you to go see a doctor, right? And he said, those who need to go to the doctor are those who are what? Sick. And what he was trying to tell us here is that if any man is going to come and receive salvation, you must first see yourself not as one who's fine, but as one who's sick. As one who's a sinner. As one who's unrighteous. As a criminal, like my brother said earlier on this morning. Now, some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I don't know about me. I'm good. I'm fine. Well, I'm here to tell you the good news. The good news starts with the bad news, that you're sick. Man is sick to the core. Humanity is sick to the bone. And we have to understand that. You may be dressing nice and looking nice. Simon, you may be living in a nice house. You may be living in a nice neighborhood. Simon, you may be driving a nice car. But it's all a show. Because the inside is rotten. Man is rotten. And if we're going to ever present salvation to people, we must first let them know who they are. You can never be able to appreciate the grace of God if you don't know who you used to be. Man is a sinner. See, Jesus said this. And talking to the Pharisees, he said, it's like a tomb. On the outside, it's painted whitewashed, real nice. Looking good. I mean, it's nicely engraved with your name and your date of birth and your date of death and all your accomplishment. It looks good. When you look at it from far, the grave looks nice and pretty and colorful. But if you dig that grave and you go inside, what you're going to find is what? Dead man's bone. And the picture there is humanity. We may look good on the outside, but on the inside, we're sick. the nature is rotten. The problem between God and man was never about the outward sin. The outward sin was a product of the inward sin. Man is sick. If there's ever going to be salvation, you must understand who you are. We are sinners. I love the hymn. One of my best. It says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And the problem we have today in most of our churches, we're trying to be political and we're trying to be less offensive to people. So we begin to take out words from this powerful hymn. And now the word wretch doesn't appear in most of our hymns and our songs. But it should be there. Because that's man without Christ. Until he comes to Jesus Christ, fully realizing that I am a sinner, he is not ready for salvation. Simon, you are not the great one. You're not the perfect one. You're not the righteous one. You are the sick one that needs Jesus Christ. He got it wrong when it comes to his understanding of who he is. And Paul gives us a second point. He says, Simon, you got it wrong. Completely wrong. Not even one side. But you got it from beginning to end. You got it completely wrong. And Paul gives us a second point. He says that in verse 13, if you look at the scripture, he says in verse 13, all right, starting at 12, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Now listen to this, verse 13. "Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Now, understand what was going on. Simon believed. And Simon was baptized. And in our modern day church, you know what we'll say? He's a Christian. Just because he believed and he was dunked, we'll make a conclusion that he's a believer. But you have to understand that the Bible says there is true faith and there is false faith. There is living faith and there is dead faith. There is a faith that saves and there is a faith that does not save. James chapter 2 talks about it. There are different kinds of faith. Simon believed, but it was a false belief. It was a dead faith. But here was the problem. Simon did not understand what salvation really is. Not only he didn't understand who he is as a man, but he never understood what is salvation. You see, here is Simon. He had watched Philip and the Christians, they had been doing wonders and signs. God was using them in a mighty way. And they were going places and laying hands and praying. And people were getting saved. And people were getting healed and delivered. And Simon had been watching. And he said, "Huh. Hold on. If I could get this thing called salvation, I would be able to get more people to follow me." You see, he had his tricks already, his sorcery and all his tricks. And he said, "I could add one more thing into my bag of tricks. If I could get this thing called salvation and put it in my toolbox, I could use it as something to get more people to follow me." See, here was his problem. He thought salvation was something to be added. He thought salvation was something to be added onto his life. He thought that I could have my life and then have the life of Jesus. He had it wrong. He thought that I could keep me and keep Jesus. I could add Jesus onto my life. He thought that I could live my life, do my life, live how I want to, but at the same time, add Jesus to the side. You see, he didn't understand that salvation is not addition. Salvation is a change of government. That's where he missed it. He wanted to be able to have his life and run his life and at the same time have Jesus on the side. He failed to understand that salvation is a change of government. See, when I was in school, one of the things we learned was colonization and independence. And when the country gains independence, here's what happened, okay? They become their own boss, right? There is no outside force that is controlling them. They get to dictate how things go in their country. They get to tell when to buy and when to sell. They get to decide who comes in, who goes out. When you gain independence, you become self-what? Governance. But colonization is the opposite. When you're colonized, somebody is in charge. Somebody is your boss. Now, they may give you a little bit of itty freedom here and there so you can do small things here, but the bulk of it is that somebody runs your affairs. Somebody tells you what to buy, when to buy, how to buy. They control your currency. They tell you who you can partner with, who you can do business with. They run the show. And salvation is colonization. It's not independence. It's not addition. It's colonization. This is where Jesus comes in and he becomes the Lord of your life. And that's why when we tell people to recite Romans 10, 9 to 10, if you believe and you confess that Jesus is Lord, that's not just a fancy term that was in there. No, what it means is that Jesus becomes the master of your life. No, you don't get to add him and then you live how you want. You don't get to add him and then you do your life the way you want to do it. You don't get to run the affairs of your life. He becomes the new man in charge. He becomes the master. He tells you where to go. You talk to him before you do things in prayer. You ask him, does he want you to go there? Before you move and you travel and you buy and you sell, you talk to the master, what would you want me to do? And even sometimes when we do our own things and the master says, no, we change course. And Paul will put it like this very nicely in Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives through me. Paul says, I'm dead. I was crucified. Me don't exist no more. There is a new master in me. There is a new person that runs the affairs of my life. I have become a bond servant of Jesus Christ. He runs the show. And this is where Simon got it wrong. He thought he could add salvation. He thought he could live his life and then Jesus on the side. But he got it wrong. Salvation is not addition. It is colonization. Jesus takes over your life. He gives us a third point. Look at verse 14 to 18. Paul gives us a third point. Verse 14 to 18. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was giving, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone of whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And here's where Simon got it wrong again. Not only he didn't understand who he was as a man, not only he didn't understand what salvation is all about, Simon didn't understand how to receive salvation. He thought he could buy the Holy Spirit. See, he thought the way to receive the Holy Spirit was by paying money. He wanted to take his hard-earned money in exchange for the Holy Spirit. Here's what Simon was doing. He has worked so hard and got this money. He wanted to trade his works for the Holy Spirit. And understand that to be saved, you must have the Holy Spirit in you. There is no salvation without the Holy Spirit in you. You know, Paul said this in Romans 8 and 9. He said that if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Son, Jesus Christ, in them, he's none of his. He's saying that no matter how long you have been in church, no matter how many times you come to Sunday school, no matter how much you have done for the church, you can be here for the next 1,000 years. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. So Simon said, well, if I could trade my works for the Holy Spirit, that would be nice. He wanted to trade his works for salvation. But what he did not understand is this, that salvation is not by works. Salvation is by grace through faith. The Holy Spirit is not bought. He is a gift from God. There is no works that you can do on earth that will earn you the Holy Spirit. You can give as much as you want to the church. But giving to the church does not give you a place in heaven. You can be the greatest philanthropist in the world, but that doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't mean God is going to accept you in heaven. You can serve in the church for the next 1,000 years. You cannot trade your works for salvation. You can do all the donation you want. Salvation is not by works. It is a gift of God. In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says this, that we are saved by grace through faith. It is by grace through faith. It is by grace through faith. And Simon never understood that. And he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. There is no other way to receive the Holy Spirit but by believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I came this morning to speak to the Simons. Like I said, you might be fine. Praise God for you. But you may know a Simon that thought he is saved, that thought they know God. I thought they would make it to heaven. And I came this morning to talk to the Simons. That you must understand who you are as a person, a sinner. You must understand what salvation is, colonization. And you must understand how to receive salvation by faith. You see, Paul said this, I'm finishing here, here's my conclusion. Paul said this in Romans 10, verse 1 or 2, as he was talking to the Jews, and he says something so profound about them. I got 50 seconds. And he said this, and he said, I'm praying for my people, the Jews. He said they have a zeal for God, but without knowledge. He says they serve. They do all the commandments. They go to the temple. They pray. I mean, they keep this and they keep that. He says they have a zeal for God, but they have no lick of understanding what salvation is all about. And Paul says, my prayer for them is that they will come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul even wished that he will be cut off from Jesus Christ, that they will be brought in and be saved. So I encourage you this morning, examine yourself that you're in the faith. Amen. Come on, bless God this morning. Amen. I want to pray with you just for a few seconds. Now, I'm not as great as Paul that wish he was cut off from Christ, that his people will be saved. I was cut off from Christ, okay? The greatest thing that ever happened to me is salvation. I want to stay in there. But I want to pray with you this morning that if you're a Simon and saying, I thought I was saved, I didn't know anything about salvation, I want to pray with you this morning. Amen? Come on, close up your eyes. Lord, we just thank you this morning, and we bless you, O God. Father, thank you for the gift of salvation, O God. I pray this morning that those who don't know you, Father God, will come to you in repentance, O God, fully realizing, O God, who they are as sinners, O God, and receiving the gift of salvation. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church say amen. Praise God.